it is cold outside. And making his way through the frozen fjords, we've got Jeff Smuller here from Making Headway Center.
Yes, that's right. And if you have a brain, which, you know, we've been through a lot, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Or know someone who does, this stuff might be very interesting for you.
As your PSAs say.
Yes. So Making Headway Center helps people prevent brain injuries, and most of what we do help people recover from brain injuries. Mm-hmm. No, there are no people in the hallways with bandages on their heads. I get that question all the time. Mm-hmm. But we teach people how to get back on their head after they got into maybe a car wreck, a lot of that, skateboard, a slip in the bathtub, could be a bike accident.
Yeah, there are many ways of
boy, I tell you, it could be just about anything. It's very innocent. And one of the things we do is we teach people how to keep their brains in shape. And here we are at a radio station. You probably knew that.
I did.
Yeah. So first thing to remember is music is good for your brain. Now, we have 87 billion neurons firing in our brain. And within that 3.2 pounds of matter, lots of stuff happens. So it's important that you realize that listening to music kind of lights up our brain and makes us feel good, and it activates good chemicals like dopamine. And they don't call it dopamine for nothing. That makes us feel good. Sometimes you evoke memories. You know, music takes you back to a memory. Sometimes it helps you learn, because you have to sort through all these sounds in order to make sense of it. I mean, when you realize that in just a nanosecond, a lot of decisions are being made for you to interpret it, to recognize the song. Now, when we add the fact that if you play an instrument, the benefits are many, many times greater, because now we're incorporating our motor skills. And I don't mean like cars. We're incorporating the fact that we're getting our body involved with the brain process. And that actually has executive functions, helps you plan better, helps you analyze, helps your cognitive, your emotional memories. It's even related to sex. You know, certain songs, you know,
sure,
really do it for you. That's all because your brain, as Woody Allen says, is his second favorite organ.
There you go.
And so you're actually exercising your brain by listening to music. There is a downside. Okay, so studies have proven that when you listen to music while you drive, even though it's more enjoyable, mm-hmm. it is considered a minute form, yet more, it's distracted driving.
Really?
Yeah. It's also proven that people who drive with the music cranked, like I do, mm-hmm. Are more aggressive drivers, are more likely to get into car accidents. But it's also proven that people who drive without music sometimes fall asleep at the wheel. So that's kind of a balancing act right there. Mm-hmm. Now, we have emotions, and we have understanding, and we have lyrics. And if you listen to classical music, you got like 80, 90 people at one time, and your brain has to make sense of it. Or if you're playing classical music, you're reading music, you got that interpretation. So you got all kinds of understanding. So what happens is you get all kinds of stuff going on. If the music is too loud, your brain kind of shuts down. Now, this is tested on animals, and this actually, I was not involved in brain biz at the time, but my sister's horse used to listen to classical music on the radio.
The horse did.
It calms down the horses. In fact, at stud farms, it makes them more productive and makes cows give more milk. And my
Do they
sister,
play bolero for the
Probably.
Yeah.
So what my sister did was change the station from something mellow to some rock and roll, and the horse must have heard something. I was there, heard something that was not good for its hearing, and it disturbed it. And I saw the horse take its nose and knock the radio off the shelf and stomp on it with its hoof.
Interesting.
So yes, it has a definite effect on animals as well as people.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned about how music can actually help the brain. I interviewed the musician Melody Gardot a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly, I interviewed her on Happy Trails because she had been involved in a pretty severe bike accident and had a severe brain injury. And actually, she couldn't speak afterwards.
Really?
And it was the It was the music. She actually learned to sing before she could once again speak, and that actually helped her. With her brain injury was music, and of course now she's a very well-known musician and singer. But it was the act of that actually got her past it. Pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Our right brain is more artistic and our left brain is more analytical. But music actually joins the two hemispheres. Remember Mel Tillis,
sure.
The country guy who used to stutter a lot?
Stuttered.
He never stuttered when he sang.
That's true.
And there have been several of those cases in which that happens. At Making Headway Center, we teach guitar.
Interesting.
So I have a class of 7 to 9 people who are playing guitar, and it really does. I mean, we can prove that it really helps their brain function, helps their motor skills, helps them speak. It's actually more therapeutic than it is musical. But, you know, where they can't move their fingers due to a brain injury, they can move their fingers.
Fascinating.
You can see great progress over time because you're really giving your brain a great workout. And you see more smiles, and smiles create positive chemical reactions. And you're actually rewiring your brain by learning to play an instrument.
Fantastic. That's great. Now, one of the things that you do also is prevent brain injuries.
Absolutely.
And that's one of those things, because brain injuries, a lot of them are so preventable. And one of the things that can prevent a brain injury for so many different activities are helmets.
Right. Now, let's get rid of some myths having to do with helmets.
Let's hear them.
Okay. Now, a helmet will definitely, under most situations, and especially with football players, it will prevent death. So it'll keep you, when that helmet is destroyed, which happens very often,
right.
That could be your skull. A concussion usually occurs within a helmet if you're not killed, because the brain is jolted through a layer of fluid and hits the side of your skull. So a helmet does not prevent the jolt. So as the NFL or war has proven that, you know, you can survive a football game or an IED, but you're very likely to get a concussion, which sometimes are curable, sometimes are not.
Yeah, so I watched that movie that came out fairly recently with Will Smith called Concussion.
Right, and that's based on the League of Denial series, which was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, kind of like the tobacco companies in the 60s and early 70s,
have complete denial.
Unbelievable amount of medical data that they, as part of the lawsuit, they said, well, we'll settle if we don't have to release the medical data. And literally thousands of players over decades were dying later in life.
From the repeated concussions.
Repeated concussions, right. Sometimes 6 to 8 per game.
Right.
What was going on is they were getting gradual brain damage from the jolts. So you have 200-300-pound guys hitting each other. That's like a car hitting a brick wall at 40 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
They were getting early onset Alzheimer's. They were committing suicide. They were getting depressed. They were just dying in their 30s and 40s. And the NFL, being the world's largest nonprofit, by the way, had buried this evidence. They're a nonprofit.
They are?
They are a nonprofit, and they make $29 billion a year. Yes, they are a nonprofit, and isn't that weird?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of money being made in that nonprofit there.
So as a result of the lawsuits against the NFL, tremendous amounts of medical data that was buried has been released, and learning about helmets that... Yes, they can prevent death,
right?
But the jolting still occurs, and there's still concussion. Yeah,
I would say if you've not seen it, it's well worth checking out. Concussion.
It's a true story.
It's a true story, and it's really an amazing film. Better than I thought it would be. I mean, I was interested in the story. It's a really good movie, actually. But one of the more preventable brain injuries is skateboarding or cycling. And I teach on the campus of HSU, and I see people skateboarding and bicycling all the time. Nearly none of them are wearing helmets.
This is true and very disturbing.
Very disturbing.
helmet will save your life. You still might get a concussion, of course, mm-hmm. some, or you might not.
But you may not die.
But you may not die. So a helmet that might cost you $10 to $20 to $30 will prevent, has about an 80% chance of saving you about $5 million for the rest of your life, and a lot of heartache.
Absolutely.
And a lot of headache.
I mean, there was, you know, locally, one of the most famous skateboarding injuries was one of the, I can't remember his name, and I apologize for that, but one of the players for the Humboldt Crabs.
Yes, he died, I believe.
He died.
As a result of that.
He was skateboarding. He fell off the skateboard, hit his head, died. I mean, it's like, wow. And this is a really fit young man.
That's right.
It didn't matter.
And it's not uncommon for people to come up to me with a dilapidated helmet and say, this is my helmet from the crash. Can I have another? And I go, well, of course.
Yeah.
You're only good for one crash. But that would have been that person's head. And it's a pretty moving experience to work at Making Headway Center under those circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Skateboarding, scooters, horses. Like I said, don't wear a helmet in the bathtub. But, you know, it's... Yeah. It's really important to wear a helmet, and parents, you know, very often I see kids wear helmets when they're out biking.
And the parents are not.
And the parents are not.
Yeah, that irks
like,
me.
It's kind of like on an airplane, if you don't put your oxygen mask on first, you can't help somebody else. You know, parents need to do that, not only to help them help their kids, but as an example.
Yeah, and it's funny. I talked to some of the students who I know are biking or skateboarding without a helmet. I said, why are you doing this? And there's a couple of reasons. Neither of them are very good. Yeah, one, it messes up my hair. Really? Really?
No, it keeps
That's
it in
number
place.
One.
Okay.
Yeah, keep your hair in place when it's a little attached to your head.
Right.
Okay.
Bloodstains aren't good for your hair looks either. But
right.
Yeah.
And the other is they don't want to carry it around.
Well, you know, you compare that to the odds of... You know, the people we see at Making Headway Center are just people like you and me. It could be anyone.
Absolutely.
And people come through that I know in daily life.
I mean, when I got into my accident, you know, I was a experienced cyclist, but I could not help the behavior of the person that hit me.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know, it's like I did my best to get out of the way, but I'm not as fast on a bicycle as a motor vehicle is.
You're not.
I'm not.
Well, you used to be pretty fast.
I'm not Superman. And it was one of those moments of like, you know, I always felt like I could always get out of the way of stuff because I've had some near misses, but that was, I couldn't get out of the way.
So the helmet saved your life, I believe.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I didn't hit my head, and I had no control over how I landed. And that's the thing also, is you don't have any control over how you're going to land when you're thrown.
By a car.
By a car.
Yeah.
You have no control over that. Fortunately, I did not land on my head. I landed on everything else that broke, you know, many, many bones.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, fortunately, my head was not one of them. You know, so, you know, fortunately, the helmet was not needed to help save my life. But had I landed on my head? Absolutely.
Well, it happens a lot. Many people land on their head with a helmet and are perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
The odds of being perfectly fine if you don't have a helmet are pretty low.
Pretty low.
So I highly recommend helmets. You know, if you want a presentation or you want advice on helmets, we can certainly help you. We don't give away as many as we used to, but under certain circumstances, just give us a call, ask for Jeff, and we'll see if you qualify for a helmet. I mean, if people pull up in a Ferrari and say, I can't afford a helmet, I kind of hem and haw about that.
If I had a Ferrari, I couldn't afford anything else. So.
If you had a Ferrari, then you should be wearing a helmet when you drive.
can't afford food either. So,
yes.
Yeah. So before we run out of time, let's make sure you give out the number, website, all that information.
Sure. Our website is under construction, so I'm not going to give that one.
How about a phone number?
But 442-7668, Making Headway Center. We are in our new digs. We just have 10 times the square footage we did before.
Wow.
We are on the corner of 7th and K, 730 K Street in Eureka. It's was a 1929 church.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is renovated and owned by us. And boy, it's an incredible place.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we have success stories every day from people who hit their heads.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff, thanks for coming in.